Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. We are going to be starting in Deuteronomy chapter 8 to begin with, and the title of today's message is Consider Your Ways. Consider Your Ways. We will be starting in Deuteronomy in just a moment, but before we do that, we need to pray one more time, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer as we open thy holy word, thanking thee for this gift that thou hast bestowed upon thy people. We thank thee that we can read of thy mercy and thy grace. We thank thee that we can learn of thee and all that thou hast done. We thank thee for the inspiration that we can draw from thy word, and we pray, Lord, that thou would inspire us today to draw nigh to thee, to be obedient to thy will, to always follow thee, and to not look to the left or to the right, to not be distracted by the things of this world, but let our focus be on thee. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no distractions here today, but let our minds be fixed on thee, anoint our minds, anoint our hearts, and make us ready to receive thy scripture. We bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art almighty God. God, there is none beside thee, and there is none like thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're starting in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, Deuteronomy is a book that was composed recording the messages that Moses left for the people of Israel shortly before he would leave this world and shortly before the Israelites would enter into the promised land. And as we know from Scripture, it took them way longer than it should have for them to get there. It should not have taken 40 years to get from Egypt to the promised land, but because they needed to learn to follow the Lord, and because they needed to be humbled, it took that long. God led them through the wilderness. It was a long journey. It was about to come to an end finally, and they would reach that promised land. But this book is filled with warnings. It's a reminder of the goodness of God and all that he has done for his people and the miracles that he wrought for his people, but it's also a warning of what happens to people and what happens to a nation when they forget God. And when we consider that, it seems to me that the message is applicable to us today as well. It's applicable to the United States of America, because I hate to say it, but this nation seems to be a nation that has forgotten the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 1 tells us, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Oh, they were getting ready. It was an exciting time. They were about to enter the promised land, but God had some commandments for his people. Sadly, they could never adequately and fully keep those commandments. Verse 2 tells us, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." You might wonder, why did it take them so long? You know, you can make that same trip by car today, and it takes, you can get it done in one day. From Egypt to the promised land, to Israel, it doesn't take very long, but it took them 40 years because God was testing them and he was proving them to see if they would be obedient to his commands, to his commandments. Verse 3, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And if that verse sounds familiar, it's because Jesus quoted it when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And we know that is so true. We do not live by bread alone, but we live by the word of God. That's our spiritual meat and our spiritual drink. Oh yes, this is bread from heaven, this holy book. We can feast upon it any time. You don't have to just read it on Sunday in church. You can read it every day of the week if you so desire, and I hope you do. But he humbled them, and of course, it seemed like they were going to go hungry out there in the wilderness. There wasn't much to eat, but God, in his mercy, rained down manna from heaven. They didn't know what it was. In fact, that word manna means what is it? They didn't know. But God gave them very specific instructions on how to collect it. And of course, when it was time for the Sabbath day, they were told the day before to collect twice as much so that they would have enough and would not have to go out and collect on the Sabbath day. And when they tried to circumvent those commandments of God, they found that it didn't work. Those who did not collect double, when they went out on the Sabbath day to find some, they didn't find any, just as God had said. You need to remember something about God. He is always true to his word. In fact, it is impossible for God to lie. And you know why that is? Because the creation always obeys the voice of God. Therefore, he cannot lie, because when he says something, it comes to pass. When he says something, it is true every single time. So, they were fed with bread from heaven. And remarkably, their clothing also lasted. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Most people don't keep clothes for 40 years, although I have some shirts that might be getting close. But generally speaking, you don't keep clothes that long, and yet their clothes lasted and lasted and lasted those 40 years, and their feet did not swell. That means their shoes did not wear out either. God provided for their needs. And it's good that he did, because no one else was going to. They were supposed to learn to trust the Lord and to rely on the Lord. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. When they were disobedient, just as a father would punish children, and by the way, part of the reason this country's in so much trouble today is because parents don't do that anymore. You know, a lot of these young adults grew up not being disciplined, and it shows. You can tell in the way they act. You can tell by their sense of entitlement. You can tell by their lack of work ethic. But it tells us here that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. A father will discipline his child when his child is disobedient. And God does the same thing to his people. And you know why he does it? Because he loves us. And sometimes we need to stop and consider our ways. Sometimes we need to amend our ways. Here he's telling them, he's warning them. Yes, God does chasten his people, just as a father will chasten his children, will discipline his children. Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. I got some of my favorites on that list. I love honey. I love pomegranate. There's some good stuff here. And this promised land was abundant with all of these things, all of these good things, all of these blessings from God. And these blessings could belong to the Israelite people as long as they did not forget the Lord. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And you know, you can draw a parallel to this country too, because this country historically has been so prosperous. And any one of us can go down to the supermarket and usually find food there. I know that's come into question in recent years, and you might not always find everything you want exactly, but by and large, we can usually, even if it takes a little effort, get what we want. This has been the land of plenty for so long. We're starting to see that shift, though. We're starting to see things happen which make you wonder, what is going on in this country? Could it be that the people of this country, just as the Israelites would, have forgotten the Lord? Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, sometimes we can have it too good. Sometimes things could be going too well. Sometimes we can have too much. And you know, for some people, as their material possessions start to multiply, and as their wealth starts to multiply, that becomes what they think about the most. Their wealth and their belongings and their all of their favorite possessions. And a lot of times they think about getting more stuff because it seems like there's just never enough. People have so much and it's still not enough. They still want more. Some people are never satisfied. But it seems like the more we have, the more likely it becomes that we forget the Lord. You know, if you know of a person who has been very prosperous and very blessed, and they still serve the Lord with a whole heart, that is a rare and awesome thing. It does happen, and when it does, it's an absolutely wonderful thing. But so often, when we have too much, we forget all the goodness of God. We forget how desperately we need him. When we don't know where our next meal is coming from, when we don't know how we're going to pay the bills, you're far more likely to pray, aren't you? Because you become so aware of the fact that you desperately need the Lord's help. When you have too much stuff, when you have too much money, when you have too much wealth, you might start to feel like maybe you don't need the Lord. Verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein was fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? God did so much for these people. He brought them out of the wilderness. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them through all of these challenges. Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. People do that too sometimes, don't they? You know, sometimes people accrue a lot. They become wealthy and powerful, and they think to themselves, look at what I have done. And they may go and brag about it to others, not really realizing that without God, we can do nothing. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. All of the good things that we do have are because God allows us to have them. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And people might wonder, well, I mean, that doesn't really happen in modern society anymore, does it? People don't go after and follow other gods. Certainly not in the United States of America. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Witchcraft in this country is absolutely surging. It has never been more popular. And they love their social media. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of witches who are on Instagram and TikTok. Not as much on Facebook, because Facebook isn't considered cool anymore. The thing about Facebook is all of the young people started to get off when their parents got on. You see how that works. Probably because they didn't want their parents to see what they were posting on there. But anyway, there's witches all over the internet, and they're very prosperous. And witchcraft is nature worship. In fact, you've probably heard the phrase Mother Nature or Mother Earth. That is idolatry, and that is witchcraft. When you hear people use those terms, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, and you'll never see me do that unless I'm quoting somebody else or referring to somebody else, but this earth is not my mother. But not only do you have that, but you have people who become so fixated on building wealth. Money itself can become an idol. In fact, sometimes they even call it the almighty dollar, don't they? It's not. And it seems like it's getting weaker all the time, doesn't it? It certainly doesn't go as far as it used to in this day and age that we live in. But people in this country, they forget the Lord and they go after all this other stuff, just as the Israelites would do. And of course, Moses here is warning them, if you do that, if you forget the Lord, if you don't follow after his ways, if you don't follow his commandments, ye shall surely perish. Verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Well, this is a stern warning, isn't it? And I believe this is applicable for us today. We must never forget the Lord. We must never forget that it is because of his mercy and his grace we can prosper. We must never forget how much we need him. And we must never stop thanking him for all that he has done for us. It's so important that we put God first in our lives. And sometimes we might face challenges where we think we can't do something. But God is able to help us when there's something that needs to be done. He might have you doing things you never thought you'd do. And we are going to face challenges in this life. We are going to face obstacles. But as long as you remember the Lord, he will help you through it. We're going to go now to the book of Haggai. Haggai, chapter 1. And Haggai is one of the minor prophets. There are 12 of them. This is one of three that was written after the Babylonian exile took place and after they were returned to Jerusalem. Of course, we know how that all came about, and if you ever want to have a refresher course on it, you can refer to the book of Ezra, which will tell you all about it. There was a king named Cyrus, who in about 537 BC made a proclamation that the Israelite people could go back to Jerusalem. And he also made the proclamation that they could rebuild the temple. And of course, when they got back there, they were very, very excited to be back in Jerusalem. And they were very excited at the prospect of rebuilding the temple. They began the project in about 535 BC. And they even laid the foundation of the new temple that would be built there. The elders who saw it and witnessed it, who had seen the previous temple, wept when they saw the foundation laid, and they were filled with joy. But the construction quickly stopped because Artaxerxes made a command in 534 that they should stop the construction of the new temple. And the reason he did that is because Israel's adversaries put a bug in his ear saying that these people, they're obstinate, they cause trouble, and if you let them rebuild this city, if you let them rebuild the temple, they're going to cause trouble again. So there was very little progress made on the temple after an initial start. For the first couple of years, it seemed like things were going fine, but then there was that work stoppage. And for a time there, people were afraid to even try to work on the temple. And then along came a man named Haggai, who was a prophet. And you can read about him also in the book of Ezra. He was a man who was inspired by God to go and motivate the people to finish the project that God had told them to perform. Haggai chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." You know, they had got off to such a wonderful start. They had laid the foundation, but then there was that work stoppage, and they were too afraid to even work on that temple. It was about 15 years, in fact, that the work had stopped. Now Haggai was going to come along and, speaking these words that he received from the Lord, he was going to tell the people, you need to go and finish what you started. You need to go build that temple. Of course, they were making excuses. The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. People like to make excuses, don't they, when they know there's something that needs to be done. Oh, it's just not the right time yet. Let's put it off a while yet. They had been putting it off far too long. In fact, God was not their first priority. You would think they would know better after having been in bondage in Babylon, after they had been carried off. Now some of them were finally back. You think they would have learned, but already, in just this short time, they were starting to forget the Lord. Verse 3, "Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" And in case you're wondering what sealed means, it means paneled or overlaid with boards or paneling. It's interesting here, they neglected to build the temple, but they had built very nice houses for themselves. And that here is the point that God is making using his prophet Haggai. You built yourselves houses, but you've neglected to finish this very, very important project. Verse 5, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." That verse seems so relatable to this present day. People work so hard to try to make ends meet. And they try to keep up with inflation, but they can't do it. Even if they get a raise at work, it's not enough. So they make more money than they used to, but it's still not enough. It's as if they're putting it in bags with holes. They work hard, but bring in little. And that is true for so many people. It shouldn't be that way in a country that is supposed to be so prosperous. This is supposed to be the land of plenty. Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." God is telling these people, the reason you are not thriving, the reason you eat and aren't satisfied, the reason you drink and are not satisfied, the reason you never seem to have enough money is because you're not putting God first. You're not doing what he instructed you to do. But he's telling them, if you just go and you build this temple, I will take pleasure in it. Verse 9, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house." You might ask, why was it so important that this temple be built? You know, I was thinking about that. Why is it so important that this temple be built? Because one day, Jesus was going to come along, and he was going to be in that building. He was going to preach in that building. He was going to teach in that building. He was going to heal in that building. They didn't know it at the time, but the reason that building needed to be built was so that Jesus could use it later and prophecy could be fulfilled. But they spent more time working on their own houses. They spent time working on their own projects and completely neglected this one. Verse 10, "Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." You know, as you might recall from Deuteronomy, Moses talked about all those good things they had waiting for them in that promised land. But here we see in Haggai that God, it was God who brought a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn. You know what's very interesting? Right now, much of this world is suffering from historic drought. It's far worse than most of us could even imagine. You know, sometimes you'll hear about drought in certain places, and it's relatively local, or perhaps certain states might have drought. But in all the years that I have been writing the newsletter, I have never seen a time when there's so much drought in so many places. Of course, there's one news story I found. The headline is very simple. The U.S. is dry, dry, dry. So much of the Southwest is experiencing historic drought. In fact, they say it is the worst mega drought the region has experienced in 1,200 years. Lake Mead and Lake Powell, two of the most important reservoirs in this country, are 3/4 empty. And they're worried because they say pretty soon it could be that there won't be enough flow in those reservoirs for them to generate hydroelectricity, which causes electrical grids to fail. California, again, is filled with drought. You know, back in April, they measured the snowpack at one of their measuring stations. It was supposed to be several feet high, and all they found was 2.5 inches. So far this year, there are over 530,000 acres of farmland in California that were not planted. They are barren, and that affects the entire country, because California produces over 1/3 of the United States vegetables and 2/3 of the country's fruits and nuts. And if you like almonds, the vast majority of them come from California. California is also the world's biggest producer of processed tomatoes. And now that is under threat too because of the drought. And they're warning that in the months ahead, you might find it a little harder to get tomato sauce, pasta sauce, pizza sauce. Oh, that could present quite the problem. The Colorado River, which feeds Lake Powell and Lake Mead, is drying up too. And now they're fighting over how to divvy up the water that still remains. It's not going too well. Very little progress has been made. Nobody wants to give up their water, which is understandable, because water is precious. And when you can't have it, that ruins much of what you might try to do, especially if you're a farmer. Farmers have experienced great difficulty. In fact, they did a scouting trip in the Midwest to examine the corn, and they were very, very disappointed by what they found. Oddly enough, the corn seems to be doing fairly well in this area. The cornfield behind us at home seems to be very healthy, but in other places, in neighboring states, it has underperformed. They're dramatically concerned about that. But you know what? It's not just the United States of America that is suffering from historic drought. And by the way, the Northeast, too, they're under terrible drought there as well. But it's not just the United States. In Europe, they are suffering the worst drought in at least 500 years. Rivers all over Europe are drying up. And now, because these rivers are drying up, what they call hunger stones are now visible. These stones were carved hundreds of years ago during other droughts. You can find them in Germany, and you can find them in various other countries, Switzerland and so forth. These stones, which normally are not legible because they're covered in water, can now be seen. And one of the stones in Germany, the message translated into English is, "If you can see me, weep." They're suffering record-breaking heat waves. But you know what? It's not just Europe. It's gotten so bad in China that they had to shut down some of their factories because their rivers are drying up too in China, and they're not generating enough hydroelectricity. And of course, if China shuts down their factories, that affects the world, and especially the United States, because we import so much from China. And then over in the Middle East, in Iraq, the river Euphrates has greatly receded. That's drying up too. In fact, there's an area where they once had lush marshland, and farmers would take their flocks there to feed them and to give them water, and now they say it's like a desert. And of course, that's the area where they actually believe, they don't know this for sure, but they think that perhaps that's where the Garden of Eden had been. But it has dried up. So much of this world is suffering drought right now. But what's really remarkable is that here in the United States, for example, not only is there historic drought in so many places, but we've also seen massive and astonishing floods, particularly in the southern states just this last week. And of course, we know that Texas was hit very, very, very hard. In some areas near Dallas, they received over a foot of rain in one day. I know that Texas has been suffering historic drought, but that's generally not the way you want to solve it. And of course, those rains continued through much of the other southern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, and that region. They too have just been pulverized by these floods, and the images are astonishing to watch on the news. Entire houses engulfed in water with only the roofs visible. Oh, yes, this country is in trouble. But something that really shocked me is that MSN News dared to publish a story with the headline, "Is God Punishing the United States of America?" Usually you don't find that sort of story on the news, but this person goes on to talk about all of the trouble we're facing, the historic drought, the extreme weather, the floodings. And he even points out that really in this country there's kind of a de facto civil war right now, because you have the Democrats and the Republicans who cannot get along at all. And they refuse to work together. They have no interest in working together. And what did Jesus say? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And of course, we're seeing so much violence. We're seeing so many shootings. And you have to wonder, why is all of this happening? Maybe it's because so many people in this country have forgotten the Lord. But you know what? It's not just the United States. There's trouble in Europe too. We just talked about that. And of course, the inflation is terrible over there. They have an energy crisis there too because of the war in Ukraine. And all of these problems happening simultaneously have a rippling effect on the entire world. We need to turn back to the Lord. That is our only hope. Yes, God used his prophet Haggai to tell the Israelites, "And I called for a drought upon the land," in verse 11. "And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands." Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, "I am with you, saith the Lord." You see how dramatically things can change when we consider our ways, and when there's an attitude adjustment. "I am with you, saith the Lord." And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. And of course, we know that the adversaries of Israel tried to get Darius to put a stop to it too, but he didn't. In fact, the people of Israel urged Darius, look back in your records and see where Cyrus made this proclamation to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the city. And you know what? Darius did that, and he found the records, and he made a declaration, he made a decree that the temple would be rebuilt. And not only that, but it would be paid for. You see, when you just turn to the Lord and consider your ways and amend your ways and put God first and foremost in your life, that's when good things start to happen. Yes. Jesus warned us that we need to put God first. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Of course, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a famous portion of Scripture. Most of us have probably read it before. But it's okay to read things again. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what the Word of God tells us. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, wealth, money, goods, possessions in this world are so fleeting. And when you leave this world, you're not taking any of that with you anyway. You can't take it with you. But there is treasure that you can lay up in heaven. When you do the will of God, when you pray, when you study His Word, when you help others, you are making deposits in heaven for treasures in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart? Well, our hearts are supposed to be in heaven. And if our hearts are in heaven, then we should be putting God first in our lives. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Some people might think they've seen the light. They might think they have the light. But if you're not putting God first in your life and you let other things hinder your walk, there's darkness there. And how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some people lose all self-control, all willpower, and do whatever they can just to try to get a little more of what they don't need anyway. But ye cannot serve God and mammon. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is far better to serve the Lord. It is far more satisfying. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Oh, there's more to life than the stuff that we own and possess. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Oh, when you think about how God loves the little creatures, the little critters, the birds even. And you can tell that He enjoyed Himself when He designed some of them. Gave them very unique patterns and made them very colorful. They're little flying works of art. Yes. God cares even for those little birds. And if he cares for those little birds, just imagine how much he cares for you. You are far more precious to him than even these little animals that he loves so much. Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can you think about it and make yourself taller? No one can do that. You can't think about it and suddenly start growing in height. No. It'll just be idle time. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, he did it for the Israelites as they were wandering through the wilderness. Their clothes lasted them 40 years. That's unheard of. And it's not like they were just sitting around either. They were journeying through the land. They did a lot of walking. The clothing they wore saw a lot of usage, but it lasted. God is able to stretch things and make things last beyond our imagination. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what you need before you even know what you need. And he's able to provide for all of our needs. But there's something very important you must do. Put God first in your life. Do not forget the Lord. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. God already sees it. God's already been there. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what to do to get you through it. And he knows exactly how to provide for your needs. So seek him first and put him first and foremost in your life. Yes. Don't forget the Lord. When you forget the Lord, that's when trouble crops up. I want to go to one final place in Scripture before we close this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 for just a couple of verses. Of course, this chapter talks about a time when Solomon built the first temple and it was dedicated to God, and God was very, very pleased by what Solomon had done and his faithfulness in building that first temple. But he also gave the people a warning that applies to us today as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 tells us, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Well, it's interesting. In Haggai, God said that he sent a drought. And here in 2 Chronicles, it talks about God shutting up heaven that there be no rain. And this country today is facing drought. Much of the world is facing drought. Yet people today could never imagine that maybe God would send a drought. No, they think that it's just climate change. But what if climate change is God's punishment? If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilences among my people. Do we have any pestilences today? Oh yeah, COVID, bird flu, monkeypox, and now there's a new one. They call it tomato flu. And people get these very, very painful red sores on their body. New diseases are popping up all the time. Pestilences are popping up all the time. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What's it going to take to heal the land? Well, we have the formula right here. I'm going to read it again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, it's time for us to consider our ways, not just as individuals, but this entire nation needs to do that. That's the only thing that will heal the land in this country. I don't expect that this entire country will heed this command from the Lord, but thankfully we can do it as individuals. And even when it seems like maybe the rest of the world is being punished by God, He can still prosper you and prosper your life. And I'm not just talking about material things, but you can be overflowing and filled abundantly with the Spirit of God to encourage you and comfort you. Even as you go from day to day and we draw ever closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Put Him first in your life and never forget the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done. We thank thee for the miracles that thou hast wrought. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to be mindful of thee. Help us to never forget thee in all that thou hast done for thy people, all of thy goodness towards thy people. And help us, O God, to always put thee first and foremost in our lives. Help us to seek thy face. And we pray, Lord, that thou would be with thy people and strengthen us in the days ahead. Help us, O God, to be obedient to thy will and help us to always follow thy word. Bless thy people who are here in this building. Bless thy people who are listening online. And bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We are going to open our chorus books in closing. Praise God. And we're going to turn to number 159 in the chorus book, Seek Ye First. 159. Yes. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.